Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights, conversations exploring network transformation through interviews with industry experts.
Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights. We're coming to you live from the NFV World Congress event in San Jose, and I am so excited to be joined by Lynn Comp, Senior Director of Communication Service Provider Business Acceleration Team within the Network Platform Group at Intel. Welcome, Lynn.
Hey, Allison. Great to be back.
I think this is maybe your eighth time on Chip Chat. Who knows the count? But why don't you give a background for those who have not interacted with you on Chip Chat on the scope of your purview at the company?
I have one of the most exciting jobs, I think, because I work across the whole supply chain. So I get to work with the network builders members, and that includes OEMs and TEMs and systems integrators, software vendors, and service providers. But I also get to work with the broader service provider industry. So I see all these worldwide trends happening where people are applying breakthrough software innovation in one place, and then that's inspiring someone else to do some incredibly unique deployments in another. So it's a very exciting role to be able to watch it worldwide as the industry and the whole supply chain transforms.
You know, it's interesting in talking to folks from the industry and from comm service providers here, one of the things that keeps coming up is open innovation and open source innovation, which seems like a relatively new trend within the networking arena. Why do you think so many folks are looking at open innovation as part of the foundation for the transformation of the network?
I think there's a general recognition when the comms service providers look at cloud and enterprise that a lot of the pace of innovation really picked up when there was an emphasis on at least open interfaces, if not open source code as well, and the ability to add features at whatever pace was necessary, the ability to deploy workloads on demand was seen to be something that was very much rooted in the open source and the open standards of cloud and enterprise.
Now, Open Network Automation Platform, or ONAP, I guess, is something that is a new topic of discussion. Tell me what that is.
ONAP is a really interesting environment. It started out with something that AT&T called eComp, and it was their management and orchestration platform. And interestingly, they have it deployed in their network. And then there was also a project, OpenO, that was really inspired by China Mobile, and it had Huawei and ZTE and a number of other contributors to it. And there was a realization, we're trying to solve the same problem, and instead of having fragmentation, let's join forces and have a more unified approach to addressing the automation of the network platform and the automation of onboarding workloads and the ability to do billing integration as well.
Now, ONAP has a number of participants in it, and what is it that drives the membership there, and where is Intel's role?
So Intel is one of the platinum board seats, and I think a lot of it roots in the fact that we have invested so much in open source over the years. We're one of the top contributors in many of those open source communities, and AT&T and China Mobile and others have realized that it's really difficult to be the only source of your own software innovation because it requires a lot of developers. You don't have all of the support from the community testing and taking a look at the code quality and doing check-ins for you. And you don't have the benefit of other innovators. And so bringing Intel on board brought a lot of developers that we have had contributing to OpenStack and to Linux kernel and many other open source projects. And banding forces together allows the service provider community to tap into developers that they just wouldn't be able to staff and keep on payroll consistently 100% of the time, but they can benefit from the innovation.
Now, I know China Mobile is one of the leading participants in this organization, and I know that you were just in China. Where are we in terms of driving network transition in China? And is there anything unique in that market to pay attention to?
China is a really interesting market. They have so many software engineers and researchers. At the same time, they like to collaborate with companies that are a little bit more risk-taking and pioneering. And so when NFV and SDN first came out, it was seen as a given. And that was seen as a given within the research departments. And right now, what we're seeing is that the operations organizations are really figuring out, how do I bill for this? How do I manage in this? How do I retrain my workforce? And so it's a very encouraging trend when you go from the labs and the proof of concepts to the operations and maintenance people at first looking somewhat skeptically. But mm-hmm. the fact is they're looking at it, which means that we're down that path to real deployments.
I think about the Chinese market and the scale of service that needs to be delivered. It's astounding. What are the specific challenges there?
Well, scale is one. Also, they have a very challenging terrain. If you look at Beijing, it's surrounded by mountains and it's in a basin. And then you've got Shanghai that's on a river with lots of rain. And when you're delivering network services, physical reality becomes something you have to manage to.
We're not in a clean room environment.
Not in a clean room environment. A tier one city is 20 million people. And so you're talking about a one city scale of, in some cases, greater population than some countries in Europe. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of those scale deployment challenges that they have to think about. The good news in China is that their network infrastructure is newer, and so they can take advantage of things like Cloud RAN because there's new fiber that's sure. been put down. So there's some pluses and some unique challenges that are there. But the good thing about China is you do have the China Mobile, China Telecom, China Unicom, and in some cases you'll find that they're a lot more willing to share research and innovation because they're in very different markets, mm-hmm. but also they have this unique challenge that nobody else faces in terms of scope, and that means land size as well as the number of people to connect, as well as scale.
I want to shift to another topic we've talked about before, but I know that there's been a lot of thought advancements in this space. Standard benchmarks for network. This isn't something that's existed before. Tell me why not, and where the network industry is in terms of taking a look at this challenge.
It's funny, when I first came back into this market a few years ago, I remember having a conversation with an operator and they said, well, we need to have the dimensioning and, you know, we need a TCO model. And then I said, well, we need a benchmark. We have to have the industry agreeing on a benchmark. And they kind of waved their hand and said, nah, I just have all my suppliers come in and do their private testing on my private network. And then after a few months, we decide who to invite for the RFQ. And ironically, that same operator complained at me about the fact that the TCO of a software model wasn't that much lower. I said, well, perhaps the cycle and the time that you're asking your suppliers to take might have something to do with it. Mm-hmm. And so we've been bringing network services benchmark as a concept back into the industry, and it's getting a lot of support, and it's just at the start point. Every time you start a benchmark, VMmark and SPAC was not where it is today when it first started. But the whole goal is to give the service providers and their suppliers a set of synthetic benchmarks that everybody understands what the parameters mean when you run the workload. And then the service providers who have some of the smartest people in terms of knowing what their infrastructure does, they would translate that synthetic benchmark into, here's what it means for my infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And they would shortcut and be able to carve some of that time out of the process of all the fine tuning and customization on their network models, and then come to a decision point much more quickly on who to invite for the RFQ based on the measurements that they're posting that are well understood.
I know that you spent a lot of time in data center, and we do have the good, bad, and ugly of standard benchmarks when it comes to data center environments. What can the comm service provider industry learn in terms of what to do right and what to avoid in terms of approaching synthetic benchmarks in your mind?
I think one of the best things that they could learn from is what some of the cloud vendors did a few years ago, which is to take the code that they used to test their environment or some portion of it and put it in the open source community or put it into a benchmark standardization process like OPNFV's yardstick, mm-hmm. because then it gives everyone a reference point.
Sure.
This is what matters to me in terms of the parameters that I look to test for what will run well in my network. Being specific and concrete is the best thing that the operators can do, because then it's something that instantly they know how to translate. this capability or this supplier's product runs at this level and outputs these parameters. In my environment, that's what this means. And the whole idea is that they have a very quick way to translate the code that's artificial to the real world reality.
You know, we've talked about open source. We've talked about benchmarking. What do you think is the next big challenge?
I think the next big challenge is getting it operational enough, soon enough, to be ready to handle something like 5G. Mm-hmm. When you look at what 5G demands, especially at the edge, with the agility and the intelligence, being able to handle licensed, unlicensed spectrum, being able to slice the network up to give different kinds of small, medium, large channels, the same way that virtualization did compute. You need to have that intelligence and agility much faster. Mm-hmm. And so we're in a bit of a race right now. Can we get the network transformed in the right places fast enough so that when 5G does hit, the edge and then the core of the network is ready for it?
Final question for you. Where can folks engage with you if they want to continue the conversation?
Well, first of all, you have to always go to Chip Chat and look online. But I'm also on Twitter, and you can find me there. It's at comp_Lynn.
Lynn, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I'm looking forward to hearing about that adoption curve and if we hit our goals in terms of 5G readiness. I have a feeling with the speed that the network industry is moving in right now, we've got a good chance to do it. I look forward to seeing the progress with you on another Chip Chat.
Great. Thanks, Allison.